Well, good morning. It's good to see you. My name is Tom Wedderell. I'm the assistant pastor here at Kennet Valley. And as Kate said, we're going to be looking at the last of the Beatitudes this morning. So do turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. If you've got a Bible or a phone, good to have it in front of you. And I'm going to read, I'll read from verse 3 for us. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Father God, as we come to this tricky topic of persecution, Lord, we pray that it would weigh heavy on our hearts, but Lord, that it would be an avenue to your blessing this morning. Lord, we come before you wanting to hear from you, and so we pray, come by your Holy Spirit. Amen. It was announced this week that the new epic Amazon TV series based on the world of Lord of the Rings, that it's going to be called The Rings of Power. The Rings of Power, I don't know if you've seen that poster around or the announcement in the news. The story of this TV series is going to follow the creation of the Rings of Power and the kingdoms and how they rise and fall in their wake. And it's expected that they will be spending about $450 million on the first series. It will be the most expensive TV series ever made. And that's not to mention the $250 million that they spent on the rights alone. Huge amounts of money. Why spend so much on one TV show? Well, for one thing, they know that we really enjoy dramas about kind of kingdoms battling kingdoms. We get lost in these epic stories. We enjoy it, and so they put it on telly for us. And there is a huge audience for these kind of films and TV shows. But it's also because in the real world, there is a battle going on for your attention. And if they keep your attention, they keep your subscription. And so the kingdoms of Netflix and Amazon, they battle against one another, each making all sorts of shows to draw us in. And that works out quite nicely for us because it means we get lots of good TV shows and films to enjoy. However, in this battle for our attention, we can easily become distracted. Primarily distracted from the very real battle that is happening all over the world and in our own lives, and which often goes unnoticed. This is the battle of God's kingdom breaking into our world. We've seen Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount speaking to the disciples before him, announcing the arrival of God's great kingdom and describing what it is like to live as part of that kingdom. And here he rounds off his introductory Beatitudes. And he describes the reality of opposition that the kingdom will face. He knows that as the kingdom of God breaks into this world, there will be an inevitable clash of kingdoms here. And it's going to be felt by all of us who are in God's kingdom. But Jesus tells us that there is a particular blessing which we will find when we experience that persecution. So let's just think about the inevitable clash of kingdoms. To me, it's somewhat surprising that this is the kingdom of a righteous God coming in, why would it be rejected rather than embraced? I mean, as we've read the Beatitudes, there is so much good stuff in there. Why would this kingdom of God be rejected? And Tolkien helps us here in the words that he gave to Lady Galadriel when she says, "The hearts of men are easily corrupted." You see, it was real men who willingly rejected and killed the real Jesus. And they did it because they didn't like his righteousness. They felt threatened by his righteousness. And so persecution is an inevitability of being a follower of Jesus. Notice that he doesn't say, if people insult you. Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then, as John records Jesus saying in John chapter 15, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so Jesus is making really clear that this good life that we've been talking about is not always easy. At times, the good life hurts. At times, the good life costs us significantly. And yet Jesus still says, this is the good life. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus isn't trying to kind of tag on some small print that he's trying to put some kind of positive spin on to convince us. Persecution for his sake is another reason to consider ourselves blessed and to find blessing. Do you believe that this morning? Or is that a tough sell? As we come this morning, are our hearts prepared for that inevitable persecution? Are you facing persecution already? Well, come and hear the kind of blessing that Jesus says is yours. And before we dive in and consider what persecution we can all expect, let me just speak to those of you here this morning who are trusting Jesus, but you're feeling like your grip onto him is weak. And this talk of persecution worries you that if it comes your way, you won't survive it, and that you'll just kind of drift away into the way of the other kingdom. Well, I'm going to assume that you got out of bed this morning and came here this morning because you believe that there is blessing. Blessing that Jesus has that the world doesn't have. And it is no small thing that you've come. And Jesus is calling you to a deeper experience of his blessing. A deeper experience of his blessing that will strengthen your faith. So it's good that you're here. So let's ask, what kind of persecution can we expect? What kind of persecution can we expect? As long as there have been people living for Jesus, there has been persecution. 2 Timothy, we read that. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I had no shortage of verses that kind of relayed this reality throughout the New Testament this morning. It is all the way through the New Testament. Persecution comes when we want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. But our response to this expectation of persecution can be quite revealing. For some of you, you lean into that expectation for persecution. You have no issue with people taking fault with you or you causing offense to them. Perhaps you relish that confrontation. But this is not the kind of persecution that Jesus is talking about. If your approach is combative and obnoxious, that should be revealing to you who you are really willing to die for. And neither is Jesus necessarily talking about when people don't like the kind of religio-political hill that you are willing to die on, if not eager to. I'm not saying that there aren't good political or social causes to get behind and make sacrifices for, but you have to be careful when discerning whether people are objecting to you or to Christ in you. If you're quick to claim that you or your cause are being persecuted, maybe then you are slow to show grace to that person on the other side. They are already your enemy, and so you can't possibly sit down with them and warmly share the gospel with them because they are already the opposition to you. Some of us lean into this expectation for persecution too readily. For others of us, you pull away from it. And this is not simply just avoiding confrontation. I'm talking about when you live in such a way that you are only ever praised for being respectable or virtuous. If there is a risk of being persecuted, it's for doing the things that are, for the most part, respectable in your tribe. You're not known for doing it for Jesus, or for being reliant upon Jesus, or for talking about things that are relative to him. We get someone like David Attenborough, who, as far as I'm aware, isn't a follower of Jesus, and he has become respected the world over. He's regarded, I think, as a national treasure. I think that's fair to say at this point. And it would be easy to speak up about climate issues as he does. It is comfortable and acceptable for the most part. But are your words and your energies, are they actually ever put, or are they just rarely put into communicating how every human being is facing a much more severe crisis living life without God? And where it might seem ambitious to say that we can save the earth, it is definitely impossible to save ourselves. No, it is when righteousness is evident in our lives that we can expect the kind of persecution that Jesus is talking about. So I wonder, I mean, I've talked there about two extremes perhaps, but do you see part of your heart being revealed there? Do you lean into it or lean away from it? Jesus wants us to be righteous and to follow him. And he expects that when we do that, that's when persecution comes. He says in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." Now, he's not talking about self-righteousness. Jesus doesn't want a kingdom full of people parading their own kind of Bible-inspired virtuosity. Real righteousness says, my life is just entirely about him. A life that has been humbled by him. As we saw right back at the beginning of the Beatitudes, that the way into the kingdom is to recognize our poverty of spirit, that without Jesus we have nothing, that our forgiveness comes from him and his sacrificial death, so that we might know him and live with him. And it's a life that wants to conform to what you see in him. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, as we've already seen. He is perfectly pure in heart, and we want to see him transforming our lives. He says in verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." If we are living for Jesus, then we don't need to be obnoxious or showy, because the sinful world around us will reject us as they did Jesus. We are called, as Don Carson puts it, to show genuine, transparent righteousness. And by that he's saying just to live authentically the faith that we have, living out what we believe to be true. And hopefully, gloriously, there will be some people who see the hope that you have and will want it for themselves. But others will reject you. Now, why is it that righteous people are persecuted and the respectable and virtuous people are not? Martin Lloyd-Jones shares an insightful answer here, I think, for us. He first of all says this: the good and noble are very rarely persecuted, because we all have the feeling that they are just like ourselves at our best. We think, I am capable of that myself if only I put my mind to it. It's true, isn't it? And there's so much advertising out there designed to help us feel that that we are virtuous as we use that particular product, as we help that particular cause, which isn't in itself a bad thing. But they have looked at that inner desire within us that we want to feel capable of great virtue. We do. But Lloyd-Jones continues. He says, but the righteous are persecuted because they are different. That is why the Pharisees and the scribes hated our Lord. It was not because he was good. It was because he was different. There was something about him that condemned them. They felt all their righteousness was being made to look tawdry. Now, we know that we are imperfect, and it seems perhaps odd to us that people will see Jesus in us. Maybe through lots of searching, they will see Jesus in us. But if they are seeing us and we are following him, then they will see us enjoying a free righteousness which cannot be achieved. A free righteousness which is also a costly righteousness purchased for us at the cross by a merciful King. And Jesus says to us, expect that people will want to reject that. Now, he warns us that that might be with physical violence or something extreme, or it might be more subtle. But what kind of persecution can we expect here? It might be that they belittle you and make you feel intellectually inferior to your siblings or your friends because of what you believe. They might single you out and make you feel strange or fanatical for listening to worship music. They might overlook you at work because you don't want to cut corners or take advantage of the system in the same way. They might tease you or call you insulting names because being single or unmarried, you're choosing not to have sexual relationships or embrace porn culture. Maybe you feel part of a marginalized community already, and being a Christian in that community makes you feel even more isolated. And there are so many other ways, maybe ways that you have experienced already. Now, what if these things are never coming our way? There's a real challenge here, a challenge that I have felt thinking about it this week. If you never experience the clash of kingdoms, we have to ask ourselves, why? Are you practicing righteousness? Are you living out what Christ has saved you for? Or are you trying to live between two kingdoms committed to neither? Maybe you're tempted to hide away amongst other Christians with little or no opportunity for people to see how Jesus affects your life. I'm challenged by this. People know that I'm a Christian as soon as they ask me what my job is. And that's weird enough already, really. It's tempting to give vague and ordinary sounding answers to seem just a bit more normal, and maybe so they won't ask anything more. Or for myself to make little or no effort to spend time with anybody else, but just Christians who I know will respect my faith. I have to fight those things. Jesus is going to tell us a little further into this message, I think next week, that you and I are the light of the world. We are here to reveal his righteousness, and he wants to do that through me, and he wants to do that through you. He wants to reveal to the world what kind of God he is through your life, and that is extraordinary. And so the challenge here is your faith seen? Are you genuinely committed to living out Christ's righteousness in your life? Because whilst you may get rejected, you will get rejected. He says to us, this place of persecution is also a place of extraordinary blessing. So let's consider that. What joy and blessing can we expect? Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When Jesus first spoke these words, he knew that there had been generations past that were attacked and oppressed because they trusted God and they spoke and lived what was true about God. Daniel, Elijah, Jeremiah. And he knows that those who are sitting there on that mountainside with him would face the same horrific rejection that he was going to receive. And he knows, and he knew then, that generations of his disciples and followers afterwards would be persecuted as well. There is more Christian persecution today than at any other time in human history. In Nigeria in 2021, an average of 17 Christians were killed every day. And according to the Pew Research Center Forum on Religion and Public Life, Christians experienced harassment in more countries than any other religious groups in 2019. It is everywhere, and at times it is extreme and it is hard. And yet the promises that Jesus spoke to those people in front of him were not empty promises. Every generation of believers have found his words to be absolutely true, directing them to joy and blessing under these great trials. And they can do the same for you now, whatever it is that you are facing and whatever you will face. Jesus says, "Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So what blessing is there? He says, "You have an eternal home with God. You belong in God's kingdom. Jesus has come and made a way so that rather than being kept outside his kingdom for all eternity, you are totally welcome in the place where Jesus is king. Jesus has dealt with your sin. He has clothed you with his righteousness, and he has brought you in with him, a permanent citizen, and it is your home forever. And so you are blessed when you are persecuted because they reinforce to you that you are no longer of the earthly kingdom, but a greater one. If your home is with him, you don't need to be shaken when your earthly kingdom is falling around you. It might be that as you live out your faith more openly, you lose friends. Maybe that's happened already because you've become a Christian. Maybe you lose a job because you spoke out about your faith. But here in that, you are reminded that you have something more, something that is untouchable in this world, and it is your life with God himself. And I want to put it to you that that is an enviable thing in this world. I remember when those Egyptian Christians were beheaded on that beach. And the dignity they seemed to have as they faced it. You and I, we try and cling on to life so much, and yet on that beach, it was profoundly clear by the way in which they composed themselves and faced that beheading that they had something better. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't painful for them. It didn't mean that they didn't lose absolutely everything that they had. But it was glorious, because they clearly belonged to a different kingdom, and they knew it. And as they faced it, they knew it. We are blessed in our persecution because we are reminded that we have an eternal home with God. More than that, you are identified with Jesus now. He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you." He goes on to say, "Because of me." when you're being persecuted, you are being identified with Jesus now. And if we're honest, it's tempting to feel ashamed of being associated with Jesus because the world does not understand who Jesus is. But one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And even those who have humiliated us and maligned us, they will confess he is Lord of all. And the early Christians knew this. In Acts 5, they rejoiced for being counted worthy to suffer for his name. And if we're honest right now, political names, celebrity names, our tribal names, they seem so important. They seem like everything. But one day, even they will fall into place under the name that is above every name. And so today, when people single you out, remember that they are singling you out because they associate you with him. They associate you with the Lord of all creation, King of kings and Lord of lords. And there is no shame in that. And let's not forget that he is with those who suffer for him. He will not desert you as you cling to his name. He is glad to tell your heart that you are his. You are identified with him now. And also, you're not wasting your life. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When someone is putting you down for your faith, it is easy to feel that our lives are lesser, that we have put all of our eggs into a laughable basket. But persecution teaches us that that is not the truth about things. And by shaking us up out of our comfort, persecution reminds us that there is something greater that we are living for. That when we die, we will enter that home that he has saved us for. It's nothing that we've earned, but that reward is the destination of all those who persevere to the end with Jesus. First in heaven, and then in a renewed heaven and earth. And many before us have given up so much for the sake of their life with him. You might know the missionary Jim Elliot, who was killed trying to reach a tribe for the gospel for the first time, so that they might have a chance to hear of this greater, more glorious king. But before he was killed, he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot, gain, keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The prophets of old and Christians throughout history have done this. They have lived lives actually free from the restrictions of worldly praise and position because they know ultimately that's passing. And ultimately they have something more. And so persecution, it helps us, it teaches us, because it wakes us up to the foolishness of living for this earthly kingdom when a better one is already ours. It teaches us to let go of this life. To let go of it is not wasting it. It is gaining a better one. Do you see that it is blessed to be persecuted? That there is blessing to find there, because it reveals to our hearts what is true and greater and what we are really living for. So let me encourage you to make those small daily choices. To choose not to react to those insults. To choose to make those sacrifices so that your family can see that to you, Jesus is worth it. To rejoice when you are sidelined because you have been counted with Jesus. Now, of course, let me say, it doesn't mean that we never push back on persecution. It is right for us to be passionate about that and prayerful about that. But our deepest prayer and hope is that for blessing and joy in that persecution, whatever the Lord allows to come our way. And at times we might feel guilty that our brothers and sisters are experiencing so much extreme persecution where we aren't. And it's right to feel concerned for them. But perhaps our guilt comes from where we have not repented for shying away from the call on our lives to live righteously. And so let's repent. Let's repent of easy living, of shy righteousness. Let's receive his grace and forgiveness and live out this life of blessing that he has given to us. Because there is joy and there is blessing there. I just want to finish by speaking to you who are here who haven't yet trusted Jesus. Because maybe this image of two kingdoms is helpful for you. Maybe you find it hard that your Christian friend or family member is strange. Maybe it conflicts with you or frustrates you that some of the things they do or believe don't make sense or rub you up the wrong way, or that's just so different to the story that you believe about the world. Consider for a moment that you have been relating with someone who has had another world invade their heart, that another kingdom has captured their allegiance, that King Jesus has shown up and worked in their lives. And what you're seeing, which might be strange or frustrating, is him at work. And whilst it clashes with the world that we live in or what you believe, could you look past what is strange and potentially infuriating and see the king that it is pointing to, even if right now it doesn't make sense? Because he, this king, Jesus, is the one who takes the poor in spirit and gives them spiritual life and a home with him if you come to him. See his beauty, see his kindness, see his love, and maybe this kingdom will start to make a little more sense. And he extends this offer out to you, that there is a place for you within this kingdom. Maybe that's helpful to you. For the rest of us, the battle is on for our attention. So let's live out the life that Jesus has saved us for, because it is the good life. And there is great joy and blessing as we go after him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, have mercy on us. Lord, we know that it is all too easy to shrink back and to not live out the life that you have saved us for. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, help us to see that you have given us everything. A place in a greater kingdom. A home with a Savior who loves us. Security, belonging, life. Lord, help us to persevere when we feel that clash of kingdoms. Lord, help us to give our hearts over to you where we struggle to see how your kingdom is better. Lord, let us trust you and let us see your blessing. Let us rejoice that we have been counted with you. Father, it seems a lot to ask, but we pray that we would be within that same great lineage of people who are willing to give up everything for your sake. You are our glorious King, and you have loved us so much. Lord, we praise you. And I pray for anyone this morning who finds it difficult, who's not yet a believer and finds the weirdness of your kingdom difficult. Lord, give them eyes to see. And Lord, as Kate has prayed, Lord, we pray for those who are experiencing extreme persecution. Lord, break our hearts for them. Lord, let justice roll out. And Lord, in that persecution, reveal to them how infinitely blessed they are in you. We pray this all in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.